What is up, you beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of the Built on Bitcoin podcast, where we're covering everything going on in the Stacks ecosystem. And today I have Orlando on the podcast. And if you've seen around Twitter, this account called StackerDAOs, which just recently has been putting out some super fire looking concepts of their graphical interfaces. But him, Orlando, and his co-founder Ryan are building a no-code, off-the-shelf way to launch a DAO, like get the infrastructure figured out, so that you can just focus on the important part of building with your community and getting shit done. So it was great to have Orlando on the podcast. What they're building is super essential. And yeah, so this is part about getting to know Orlando and his background. He has a history as a lawyer, and then he recently just switched over to going full-time DGen Web3, which is always exciting. The more people we can pull over, the better. But also, why a DAO infrastructure play versus something else? And also, what was the process like of applying for a grant and working with the foundation? So that's what we cover today. Let's just jump into it with this conversation with Orlando, co-founder of StackerDAOs.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
We've been riffing all kinds of stuff before this, but for people that don't know you, maybe a little bit about your background before you found crypto and Web3.
Sure, yeah. So I'm initially from a New York suburb. Yeah, after college, I actually was a trader on interest rate trading desk in a large bank here in New York, currently reside in New York City. So I did that for a bit, and then I worked at a unicorn startup where I did expansion community management for them in London, New York, and Amsterdam. So kind of like completely different role. And then like I went from being something that was like doing something that was very analytical, like trading is like very kind of just like also pretty intense and stuff, to like doing this kind of like more community management sales kind of like partnerships role. Although kind of ended up being, it was funny because I remember thinking at the time that like community management was like kind of shitty. Like no one really at the time like cared about
community management. You're like now, a boss now.
No, it's like, so it's like, well, like this like thing that like no one really like that was kind of like the community management part of my job at that time. I was kind of like, this sucks.
I don't want to do this.
Now it's like, whoa, this is so vital because like, I mean, like it's like basically like what crypto like lives and dies from. It's like whether the community, you know, community is like well managed. And I feel like, you know, if you can kind of get a pulse for like, what's a good community or strong community, you know, it can help with your investments, helps with like, you know, if you're like a developer, if you're like, you know, if you have your own project, kind of help to kind of like, again, expand your community, et cetera. So did that. And then I went to law school. After law school, I was a litigator, doing mostly securities litigation, government enforcement, and investigations work at a large law firm in Chicago. And then I switched to the job I currently have now, which is representing, I basically realized at the time that I kind of eventually want to do my own thing and kind of like launch my own company, my own startup, whatever. I wanted to do something that was a little more relevant, at least like legally, until I kind of like was it like until it was like the right time to kind of go off on my own. And so switched to doing startup and VC work. So currently I represent tech startups as like their outside general counsel for mostly corporate work. And then I also represent VC firms and their investments and startups. And my last day will be in like 6 days. And then after that, I'll be working on StackerDAOs, which is a DAO tooling project that I launched a little while ago with Ryan Waits. And what StackerDAOs is, it's a DAO generator, where anyone will be able to pretty easily form and manage a pretty simple off-the-shelf DAO. And then we're also going to add a layer of legal tech solutions on top of that. And so if anyone ever wants to kind of like avail themselves of any sort of benefits from having, let's say, like a legal wrapper over their DAO, which, and some benefits include like limited liability, being able to access a bank account if you ever want to do like any off-chain investment or grant giving. We would be able to kind of like form that legal wrapper from our platform as well. And then we also, this is a little probably further on, we might eventually also do like more customized solutions for more kind of like complex DAOs and also organizations that may want to like convert themselves eventually into a DAO.
Okay. I see. I always love talking to people because you see like there's threads that start to like, they lay the groundwork for how they got to here. And so like, you know, securities thing, big need in crypto, and outside counsel to startups, like you're kind of doing that for yourself now. Like you can kind of be the protector for yourself, but also for everybody going forward.
Pay money to like another lawyer to kind of like take money out. Yeah, which is pretty nice.
How early did you get into crypto? Are you one of the like the I was in 2011 mining Bitcoin? Like when did you first learn crypto? And then when did you find Stack?
Like literally the first time I heard of crypto was probably somewhere around like, well, I was in college, probably something like 2012 maybe. And it was because everyone was using Bitcoin to buy drugs on Silk Road. Like remember Silk Road. Yeah. So like, and like, because of that, I think I kind of had like a negative connotation, not even just because like whatever, people want to buy drugs with Bitcoin, who cares, but like more so because I was kind of like, okay, the use case for this is just like doing illegal stuff online. Like, I don't really know how successful will that be. And like, I think for a time too, when I'm pretty sure I read the Bitcoin white paper at that time. But again, I was kind of just like, okay, so maybe this will be like some kind of ledger or something that like banks will use or like settlements, they would use it for like settlement process or something like that. Right. So, okay, whatever. Cool. Or like block, like enter like the innovation that is like a blockchain. Right. Fast forward, 2017, did not get into crypto until 2017. One of my roommates, and this is when I was in law school, was super into crypto. But he was like super into crypto in a like very degen way, right? Like just very, just like literally every coin you can go into. I feel like for everyone, kind of like the way you get into crypto is usually probably around like, it's probably because of like the people you end up surrounding yourself with. And at the time, like, you know, 2012, I have like, you know, friends who are buying, like using crypto to buy drugs. 2017, I have like this like degenerate friend who's just like buying a bunch of shit coins. And literally, I'm like, and I kept asking him, I'm like, right, what's like the point of these? So like, what are you like what are
the voice of reason?
Well, I'm just like literally wondering, right? Because also this stuff was like mooning. I'm like, okay, like why? And like, I was a trader. I'm like why is this like, you know, why? Like, I would be interested. I'm just like, because like, again, like that like trader itch in me, right? Like, I'm totally interested in it, but it's just like, why is this moon? Like this, and I look into it and there's just nothing there. And so I'm like, okay, this is just like people just like fucking around and like whatever. And then, you know, fast forward to kind of like 2020, and again, you know, crypto's coming up again, whatever. And this time though, I now see a lot of like just very intelligent people who I kind of like really respect, like getting into it and like talking about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, like kind of like what's going on here? And I started kind of just like looking into it again. And now, you know, like again, like in 2020, you now have like DeFi, right? You had like actual kind of like real things. And I think that like, when I started looking into it, I kind of like immediately saw this whole like Web3 thing. And I think I think at the time I didn't say Web3, but I said like the next generation of the internet. I was like, I kind of like immediately saw it and I was like, oh, like this is going to be the next generation of the internet. Right. And so that's kind of how, and then finally I ended up buying like my own, like, you know, initially like Bitcoin, ETH. And then, so that's kind of how I got into it. And then I don't know, like ever since I kind of saw like the potential that it had, and I think again that like what helped me see that was like these like actual use cases now. It was just kind of hard to unsee it, right? It's like once you see it, you just can't unsee it. And you know, I think I heard about Stax in January. A friend of mine, I think I've seen it, like see something about like the mainnet launch on YouTube, and he had like recommended it. And I looked it up, and I was just like, holy shit! Wait a minute, smart contracts for Bitcoin. You know, like this is like the, this is, you're talking about like the crypto with the largest market cap. and finally like making that programmable with, and at the time, because like the block, in the same way like city coins now, like the first couple of blocks have a much higher block, like much higher block rewards. It was the same thing with SAC. So for the first couple of sacking cycles, you actually got like double the rewards, I think, or miners did. So like they were bidding way more Bitcoin. So the yields were actually like 20, some, I think it was like 23, 24%. And so I was like, hold on, this is like yielding 24% in Bitcoin. It's like smart contract for Bitcoin. Obviously we've seen like, I'm the main reason why I got into crypto basically is because of like smart contracts. And I also looked up the team and I was like, wow, this guy Muneeb is like clearly a hitter here. And there's like a bunch of like smart people working on this. So I'm like, in the same way you kind of like go to evaluate a startup, I guess. Like it's a great team, great idea. I think like prime market, the upside I think is like incredible. So I kind of like looked at Saks for just like an investment, just kind of like invested in it and just kept investing in it. And then by like, I think like April ended up being probably like almost like an irresponsible percentage of my portfolio. And because of that, obviously you're just kind of now like monitoring it much more closely. And at the time, like in like the spring or something, I was basically, it was pretty easy to be on top of like every single project. And, you know, as like projects started to come up, I think like Arcadico and all these things, I would kind of like just be in the Discord, like asking them questions, kind of just like, and again, more from like an investor standpoint, like, okay, like I'll keep an eye on this. Like I'll invest in that when this comes out. And then I think as Stacks kind of like the ecosystem just kept exploding like over the summer and in the fall, you know, as like NFT products came out, like I think I started just becoming much more of a participant in the ecosystem and just kind of like also guiding new people. Like I think like Citycoins brought in a whole new group of people. I was also spending a decent amount of time on like DeFi and Ethereum and like NFTs and Ethereum. And so like, I don't know, it was like kind of, and I feel like I was not late to that, but like kind of in the middle for that. And just being able to kind of then like have that experience and then see NFTs like in DeFi kind of blow up here, it's like, it was like pretty valuable because then it's like, okay, I've already done a lot of this like DeFi stuff on Ethereum and NFT stuff on Ethereum and seeing like what works and what doesn't work. Like how do you lose money? How do you make money? And so I thought like, I don't know, I felt like I was able to kind of like help a lot of people who had no idea like what NFTs were or like what DeFi was. And then, I don't know, I just started kind of getting like this like itch to kind of like do something myself in the ecosystem, especially like, kind of like, I guess like, I was just kind of inspired by like all the projects that were kind of coming out left and right. So then me and Ryan at one point, so Ryan, my like Stacker DAO's co-founder, ended up connecting just to do, and I was talking to you about this before, just to I think like do like an NFT project with Citycoins to kind of help with like Citycoins, for the demand for Citycoins. And then the idea was to use the proceeds to like go to some kind of cause, like local cause in Miami. So like mint with Miami coin, donate to Miami.
And just for timeline, that has to be after Citycoin's launch. So that's within the last 4 months.
Yeah, this was probably in like early October. Okay. I want to say something. October. Probably like early October. And then kind of like how I mentioned to you, you know, we thought it would be really cool if like the NFT holders could like manage those funds that are being allocated and maybe like try to like do some stacking with it, right? Maybe like basically they could like manage this. So essentially like form a DAO, right? And what we realizes because obviously there was like no DAO infrastructure in Stacks that like doing so would be a tremendous pain in the ass. And so we were kind of just like, okay, we can kind of do this manually, or we could try to like build some of this out, like the smart contracts out ourselves. But that's also just like an enormous lift for one NFT project. And so it kind of just then switched to like, okay, wait, why don't we do that? Like basically just build that out, like as like a platform, this like DAO platform, so that other NFT projects can kind of do that. And then it just kind of grew from there. The idea being like, okay, like, well, we know DAOs are coming. We know demand for DAOs on Stacks is going to come and it's going to grow, given like these other ecosystems like Ethereum, Solana. Again, we can just like look down the road to these other blockchains and kind of see where like demand will likely rise in Stacks. And so we were just like, wait, like, why don't we then kind of like expand maybe beyond NFTs and just try to create like this very easy to use DAO platform where anyone kind of just form and spin up their own like simple DAO, with the idea being that like literally anyone from like a few friends who want to maybe invest in some stuff in Stacks or like, maybe like NFTs, whatever, maybe like some DeFi stuff, or maybe even like just like some local like community members, like literally like a PTA, like a high school PTA, can just like form a DAO, maybe launch an NFT project from like an artist at the high school, use those proceeds like to then fund other things in the like for the high school, right? Like stuff like that, right? So like, but obviously to be able to do something like that, it needs to be so intuitive and easy. So we want to provide this kind of like no code platform for people to be able to do that. But obviously first things first is we literally have to just build out all this like kind of like DAO smart contract infrastructure, because it doesn't really exist yet on Stacks.
Got it. Yeah. I just got the shivers because like I hear about certain things before they've launched and I'm like, this is going to be so fucking huge. It's insane. It's just such a useful use case, especially the way you're thinking about it with, you know, like even crypto nowadays, like it, the onboarding experience is still just not good for most projects for the average person. And so think about it from the first principles is the way to attack it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, who knows like how, like, you know, how good we would make it, but like the hope is that like, you know, like someone's parents can like just like form like a PTA DAO pretty easily. Like, you know, like, and like without needing to know that much about crypto, like you might need some, you probably will need like, just realistically speaking, we'll need to require like some knowledge. But we want to make it like as easy as possible and as intuitive possible to be able to just like form this, like this community.
And that's a perfect segue to the Stacks Foundation and Stacks Grants, because their mission is to build a user-owned internet. And, you know, just like what you said with like a mom at a PTA in some local school and anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world can just boot this up. You know, that's as democratizing as it gets. How do you guys think about funding this versus going to like applying for a grant or other bootstrapping methods? Why'd you guys go with a grant fashion?
Honestly, just because it was there. I think I had looked at other. So initially when we were kind of conceiving this project, it was definitely, I would say, like a little bit lower scale. And actually, you know, and I don't know if you'll ever watch this, but Chente from Alex has been kind of advising me a little. And she actually lives in my neighborhood in New York City. And so we've gotten like coffee a few times. And actually, like one of the times that, or actually the first time I think when I met her, we had a coffee. I had like told her about the idea and she was like super into it. And she was actually the one who kind of like encouraged me to go bigger. So like kind of like, I almost have like Chente to thank for like, and I don't think I've ever told her that actually. But like for the scale of like what we're doing, I basically have like Chente to thank for that. So because it was our initial plan was to be a little small, like to kind of be probably a little smaller project. And I think it was like a little more limited to NFTs at the time. We kind of just like were looking around to see if we could like just get funding anyway. I think I just saw, I mean, I don't remember if I just like knew about this, that the Stacks Foundation gave grants, or maybe like I had an idea of it. So I think I like just Googled it and like looked it up on their website. And I had noticed too that like not that many people had applied. And so I was kind of like, you know, I was like, I don't know if this is like a good sign or a bad sign, but I was like, why not? I was just like, why not like shoot my shot? And if like we don't get it, we don't get it. Like whatever, right? Like, and it was actually a pretty easy, straightforward process. Like I recommend anyone, if you're doing a project on Stacks and it's something that will kind of just further the ecosystem. So something like Stack or DAOs, right? We're literally building like this like DAO smart contract infrastructure, or something like what you're doing, right? Where you're kind of just like expanding this knowledge about like Stacks and different funding sources for Stacks for different people, stuff like that. You know, they seem to be pretty willing to fund. And when I applied, there's like obviously like a few questions. There's like a series of questions. Like there's a whole application. I could be wrong, but the thing for me, for our application at least, and frankly, our application, we ended up putting our entire like roadmap on it, and we probably should have like limited it to much more like discrete steps. So I think now, like having gone through the process, I think initially they want to form kind of like a relationship with you and kind of just make sure that like if they give you money, that like you can actually like follow through and execute on whatever your plan is. So I think initially they like give you like a small amount, maybe for like a, and then that way you can maybe do like some kind of like smaller milestone, or maybe then like when you give an update of a larger milestone, you can then like update your application and then maybe like ask, then request more money, which is actually what we're doing now. We ended up like breaking up our application to like multiple milestones. And sorry, I guess like to bring it back, like when you in the application, you have like, you give like background information, like the problem, like your solution, like what are you doing, who the team is. And they also are asked specifically for like different milestones. And this would be basically like kind of like your deliverables. Like what are you actually like completing in this time for this grant? And so, like I said, initially in our initial application, we definitely had like our, like basically this like entire project roadmap. And then they were basically like, okay, like we'll just fund like a small piece of this for now. And then like come back if like, you know, that you end up like doing that first piece well or whatever. And so that's kind of the way we ended up going about it. And I would say too that that's, at least in my experience, that's where most of the focus was. So like we ended up having like a few back and forths with people at the foundation, both through like Discord and also on GitHub. By the way, you end up applying through GitHub. And I think a lot of it was more focused, basically all the questions were focused on like the milestones, like basically like what exactly were you trying to achieve? And then also I think like someone had chimed in about like some technical things, like in terms of some of the smart contracts that we mentioned we want to build. And they also gave like a little bit of guidance too, because like, you know, they obviously are pretty like in tune with like the ecosystem and probably like know a little bit more of what's going on and like what maybe aspects of your application or your milestones like are feasible or not feasible. So like they provide pretty helpful feedback there. And then, you know, like once you kind of like, I guess they feel secure with whatever kind of like, you know, ways you end up like responding to their questions, you end up, they end up like accepting your application. And then you just sign like a contract, which in my opinion, not legal advice to anyone, by the way, like, but that was a pretty like fair contract. And you know, you accept it. And I think like you get like the money deposited in like, I mean, like a few, like 3-4 days later. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's beautiful because the way that you started this was just because it was there. Like, I'm just going to shoot my shot. And that's where I feel like I think there's not enough applications because people take it too seriously. Like, I gotta come fully prepared and have it be like a legal document that's been verified by a lawyer. And it's like, no, it's just what's your idea out there. And the best thing they do give you, and I've felt this too, is they'll help. It's like a piece of clay. They'll help you mold down it to be like, okay, well, maybe we can chunk this into here, or I like this part of that, but maybe we can tweak it this way. Like they want it. Their mission is to grow this user-owned internet of stacks, and maybe your idea is a little off kilter, but you could, it's not totally off base. And you know, you can get some funding, and you can stop whatever you're doing, or get some extra. You know, it's late now, but Christmas money, like whatever you're doing, you know, you can get some money in your pocket for doing something that's really beneficial.
Yeah, I know, and I think you know, I totally agree. And like I, you know, I wouldn't say that it's like that. Not that it's like not serious, because obviously it's like, you know, like you're like they're giving, they're providing you a grant. Like I think. It's used in that way, but you're right. It's not like a super, it's not a painful process.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like you said, you don't need to come in with like a super crazy, like organized, like obviously like the more organized and the better thought out your application, like the better it'll be. And probably frankly, like the less back and forth you'll end up having. But I think as long as you have like an idea, you've thought about the idea, you've like maybe put some pen to paper about it. And you maybe like done some, you know, you've done some research, whatever. It's like at least like pretty well thought out. You know, I think, and again, if it furthers the ecosystem, you probably have like a good chance of like, of getting funding. And like the people pretty, you know, it's like the people in the, like at the foundation or like Stacks people, they're all pretty nice. So like, it's not like literally like you just like hit them on Discord or whatever. And it's like, again, it's like not a pain.
Yeah. They want to see you win for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, the foundation, like that's their whole goal. Like a big part of their goal is like, they want to see, they're trying to expand the ecosystem and like further the ecosystem. So like whatever, you know, like they want to give you money, right? Like they, like whatever, you know, like you can come up with that does that, that helps to serve that mission. They want to give money to you, you know?
Yep.
And I think it's actually like a great way. Like if you have like us, right? Like a project, you know, I think it's almost like a great like bootstrapping mechanism for projects. You know, like maybe eventually you will like maybe like try to like raise money for investors or something like that, right? Before you get to that point, before you're speaking to investors, you may want to have this like something, some kind of like MVP, like just something, right? And so that like, and if again, as long as like what you're doing helps to like for the ecosystem, and again, if it's like smart contracts, I think that's pretty easy. Like if it's smart contracts, because if it's smart contracts, like that's something that's like it's going to be open source, right? Like it's and as long as the smart contracts are like applicable to something that like people will end up using in the ecosystem, then I think like you know that's going to most like that will further the ecosystem, and like you could get you know this like funding from the foundation and I could help like bootstrap your project.
Yeah. Well said. I think final like thought or question. You mentioned Chiante told you to go bigger, like think bigger. And if she just said that and you didn't have access to the Stacks grant, do you think you would have thought as big, or was the combo of those two the forcing function that got you to go this big this fast?
Well, I had already applied to Stacks grant when I spoke to her.
Okay.
But
And then, I guess maybe to flip it then, if you didn't have access to this funding, would you have thought this bigly on the front end, or would you have iterated more slowly within your own mechanisms?
That's a good question. I think probably what would have happened is we probably would have maybe have had to like try to raise money from investors like earlier.
Okay. So this is just a very clear. That's kind of what they are. They're kind of like an investor that's very clear for their own lane. You know, it's just a stacks investor.
And even that wouldn't have been easy though, because like there are kind of costs to trying to raise money. So it's, and then, like that also would have been maybe like a slow process too. Like by the time like something hits your bank account. And also doing so, like, so basically doing so, we would have had to, I think, like pay out of pocket for a lot of things. Yeah. So like, I think it probably would have slowed things down. I would love to hear more about your project and your experience.
And this is one of the interesting things too, is like, I think that people get misconstrued that like, because most applications are dev projects. And so if you're a coder, then, you know, shoot your shot and you can build something cool. But a lot of us in the ecosystem aren't coders, and I'm learning Clarity.
I'm in Clarity Universe for this next cohort.
You are, yeah. We both are, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and so I'm.
Like, I know, like fair. I know, like very. Like in college, I did like a little bit, little bit. But that's like literally since college.
Yes. Yeah. I know about variables and functions, kind of, but I don't really know how to make the computer do that thing with the functions or whatever it is. And I definitely don't know how they work in Clarity. So, you know, this year is about learning Clarity. But for myself, you know, I've been doing this Built on Bitcoin podcast for, I think, like 4 months now. And it just do it in my spare time. So, you know, I work a full-time job, 40 hours a week. And then when I clock off, I come home and I talk to someone interesting like Orlando. And then I spend another 10 hours chopping up into video form. And then it goes into YouTube and it goes into podcast and it goes into TikTok. And like, I got to just do it all. And so I've been trying to find a way to spend more time in crypto and Web3 because it's so much more fun than my day job. But I don't want to put ads on my podcast and like rob your guys' time.
No, dude. And like, honestly, and I don't know if like, you know, if the foundation views it that was this way or whatever, but I mean, the way I would view it is like, you're providing a great service generally, and like, you deserve to get paid for that shit.
Yeah. And that's like, how I feel, but I don't want to be like a taker where I'm just like,
yeah,
it's tricky because like, And I applied for a residency when it first came out, which was probably like 2 months ago. And that's, for people that don't know, a grant is like, you apply for an application, you have milestones, and you get paid on your milestones typically. So they'll disperse like your milestone one, milestone two, milestone three. The residence program is a little more ongoing. So they'll pay you whatever you agree on over 6 to 12 months or longer. And it's kind of like they're putting you on the payroll in a sense without putting you on the payroll, and you get paid in stacks. And so I applied for that thinking like, okay, well, you know, I think I'm providing a service. So let me apply for a residency, see if I can make enough to quit my job, and I'll just go full time into content.
Yeah.
And at the time they were like, no, I mean, I don't think it's a good fit for right now for a residence program. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, I understand you guys got a whole, you know, you have a marketing arm at the foundation. So there's probably some cross pollination there. Maybe it's just not a right fit. That's fine. Cried for a day. And then eventually, you know, I talked to Jenny, who's one of the, she's like the main lady. Jenny's really cool. Yeah. Jenny's dope. And you'll probably interact with Will if you apply for a grant. But when I had my first call for the residency, she was like, have you thought about applying for a grant? Like, is that why have you not considered that instead? Or is that something you've been interested in? And I was like, I haven't really thought about it. Like, residency seems up my alley. Like, you know, I'm putting out content on a regular basis. So if I do it in an application format.
Also, I think what's cool about the residency, though, is like, you could just quit your job, which is like, which is the dream.
For sure. And the thing, too, with application is like, you know, the way that I'm like, my podcast is so organic that it can go different ways. So I might talk to you today, and I'll talk to someone totally random tomorrow, and then I'll talk to maybe the mayor of, you know, Miami a different day. And those are like tangentially related to stacks, but they're not in a strict scope per se. And so having to scope down, I was trying to be against because I wanted to see wherever it was like fluidly going. But yeah, after talking to her, she was like, well, you know, maybe we can work something out, and like there's a different kind of like subset. And so she actually came to me with this suggestion. This wasn't my idea to do this kind of like meta a Stacks grant, like a video series on Stacks grants. And so that was her initial idea of, you know, getting more people aware of the program by interviewing past recipients or people that are going through the process. And I was like, I love it. I think that's a great idea. You know, it's connected to what I'm already doing with just talking to cool people and then chopping it up. And, you know, I have some distribution. The hard part I got to figure out is I'm sure I can get Stacks people to apply for grants, but I really want to get people who are in Solana and ETH and whatever over to the light side. And I don't know how I'm going to chop these up yet that's going to sell to them. Because when you're in the ecosystem, like, I might have some recognizability or Stacks, you already understand how it works. But to someone else, you know, they see smart contracts with Bitcoin and they go, that's not how Bitcoin works, bro. And they just like, they just sell it off.
They're just like, Bitcoin's a dinosaur. Like, it's not, you know, you'll fail because it's like,
yeah, no. come on, boomer. Like, what are you doing?
No, it's a good point. Like, I mean, I personally, like, all the people I know who like do stuff in other ecosystems, it's more from just like an investing, just like making money standpoint. Like, they're not developers. But it, you know, I think it would be, I don't know, like, do you know a, like, if you could almost find, I think, like a counterpart, like someone who's doing basically what you're doing, but like in Solana.
Oh shit.
Maybe you could, like, I mean, I don't know, like, cause then maybe they might get mad if you're like trying to like steal people from Solana to Stacks, but like, you know, something like that, where maybe like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think in ways where you can probably.
Because like Bankless on YouTube is like an Ethereum. They started out as just like.
Yeah, I listen to a Bankless podcast. I think they're.
I like them as individuals.
Yeah, they like the only things that they annoy me because they're like total ETH maxis, but the they're good. I shouldn't say they annoy me, but like they annoy me when they end up being like very hardcore ETH maxis.
Yeah,
but I agree. They have great content, and I think I listen to their podcast like multiple episodes.
It's phenomenal. I have to make sure I catch myself. I'm like, I can't become them because they started as like, we're for the unbanked, we're bankless, and that was their kind of ethos. So they were all crypto at first, and then they switched to Ethereum is the blockchain for the world, and it's the blockchain of blockchains. And so
I didn't know that they were like more multi-chain in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And now, but now they think that Ethereum to them is like Bitcoin for us, where it's the base layer, and you build on subsets above that.
Like,
and I gotta be careful that I'm not going to become that guy for Stacks and Bitcoin.
I mean, I'm more of like a multi-chain, I guess, person, right? Like, I don't know. I still think no matter what, there will be like different use cases for different chains, and we'll probably like be in a multi-chain world. But they're like hardcore, like. No, literally every single blockchain is going to settle on Ethereum. Like Solana and Avalanche are going to eventually like just settle on Ethereum. I'm like, that will never happen.
Yeah. But to take it back, the beautiful thing about the Stacks grants is that it could be so wide ranging. You know, you could be devs.
Yeah,
it could be someone who's a legal scholar. It could be someone like me who's a content creator. You know, if you're bringing value and you have an idea, like apply. And the best thing is that you could start a dialogue with them, and they'll give you some kind of like a compass to direction to see like where's the needs and where can we assist each other.
Yeah, and when I applied, I like ended up going through several applications just so I can kind of see like how they're structured and like looked at like the successful ones to see, you know, like I guess like how do they end up formatting theirs, etc. And you know, I would just recommend just going through the different applications because it does vary probably way more than you would think. Like you mentioned, like I initially also thought that it would be all like pretty dev heavy, and there's actually like probably like a little more than half are probably like more dev focused, but there's a decent amount of like just general community stuff that again doesn't have anything to do with like actually like, you know, like developing smart contracts or anything like that. So I would recommend for anyone to like actually check out the applications and look at the different things that end up getting funding.
100%. Yeah. Check that out and then maybe reach out to Will or Jenny and just touch base with them because they'll put you on the right path to like what they're looking for, where some needs are currently or what your idea is, and they can kind of like give you some direction. So
again, they're super friendly. Like you can just again hit them up on Discord.
Yeah.
And like very nice. And again, like Jake, they'll give you some direction.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing else to cover. Do you have any closing thoughts, or should we just close this out?
Actually, yes. I'm going to plug some things that I just generally would like to see in the ecosystem, so in case anyone's listening. One, and I think we mentioned this on Twitter to you, Web3 Music. You know, the things that Web3 Music does in the music industry is unreal. And it's probably one of the industries that's probably the most positively impacted by crypto. And, you know, there are certain kind of like different music streaming platforms or like kind of like Web3 music platforms that have come up in Ethereum and some other blockchains. So I think it'd be awesome if we can do that here on Stacks, like a platform for people to kind of launch their music NFTs. And I think that would be a great application for the ecosystem. Another thing, and this might be more of a residency thing, I know Muneeb is like working on subnets. I'm sure he's like a team researching, but I don't know if anyone's actually like working on actually like tangibly deploying one. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if this has to do with the fact that I'm ignorant as to what he's doing, but if no one is actually like working on actual, you know, like make like building an actual subnet to deploy, I think that needs to be like start. So I feel like people should be working on that like yesterday, because I think that's kind of something that's pivotal for the Stacks ecosystem. Especially I think as we grow, I think we're going to hit this point where we maybe have a window where like a lot of maybe like retail people want to jump on, but if like, you know, it still takes like 10 to like 45 minutes to confirm a transaction, that's going to be a problem. And so I think it's kind of pretty pivotal that like there are people who are working on subnets, and I'm like not a sophisticated computer science person, like to know exactly like in what capacity, but I feel like that's something that like, and again, I don't know if people are working on it, but if they're not, we really need people working on subnets. And then I guess the last thing would be an application for any single thing that can increase Bitcoin functionality on Stacks. Mm-hmm. And whether that be like, you know, like, I mean, the main problem, and at SacroDAOs, we're kind of researching this ourselves, is that, you know, you can't write on Bitcoin. So like you can like send Bitcoin somewhere from like a user can send Bitcoin, but then once it's sent somewhere, you can't really like move it through a smart contract. Therefore, that then brings in some kind of like central, some like centralization, because like someone's going to have to kind of like manually move it. And I mean, like maybe unfortunately that has to be a solution, is that on the back end, there is like a few like centralized vectors where, or points of centralization, to kind of like move that Bitcoin. But at the very least, just things where different apps or things where like people can just do stuff on the front end, they're just sending native Bitcoin and like Web3 stuff happens.
100%. And to go back on the one you spoke about on subnets, I think that is definitely a huge need, where you have a new technical ability and people need to implement it.
Yeah.
And they have to learn it from scratch, and they're already working on, they have a roadmap mapped out, they have a ton of things. Yeah. And you see this right now too with Megapont. They did their robot factory, all custom. It's all their own thing. The Bitcoin Badgers are doing the same thing, where they're going to do, you can breed two badgers together and create a baby badger. And you could take like traits from your two badgers. Like, I love their eyes and I love their ears, and then make a baby badger that shares traits, also custom. Someone that can take an NFT project that gives you some kind of rough back end to do custom work with, like what Megapont did with the robot factory, where the artist can do the art side. You give them kind of the intermediary of like, you can add these 10,000 NFTs, and then, you know, you can change the eyes and then whatever. Like somewhat of a plug and play intermediary would be helpful for any NFT project in the future.
No, that's a pretty good idea, actually.
So subnets, NFTs, app chains, what?
If anyone's listening to this, there's your project.
Yeah. And that's actually, I'm going to end that every time. I'm going to ask them like, what do we think is missing? Cause
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. There's a ton of
and just like, ecosystem. And real quick, also just going back to subnets, another thing that, again, this just came up, is like, and you can, so you can look to right now to Ethereum, right? And look at like what's happening with their scalability solutions with the rollups. And they're kind of having a little bit of an issue, because also like, even if you build these like scalability solutions, like things need to migrate there, right? So then that's another thing. Like, even if like a subnet is eventually implemented, it's going to take time for people to move from like the Stacks main chain to like the subnet. If that's how it works, I mean, I actually don't know if I don't know if like subnets will work like a roll up, but
I think it's going to work a lot like Lightning does, where you move your Bitcoin off chain, you do what you do, and then you bring it back on chain.
Well, right. So, you are moving Stacks off chain, off of like the main chain, which is
exactly.
My point. So then you're going to have to migrate like assets and apps, like apps are going to have to migrate their like smart contracts and whatever like assets they have to the subnet, right? And that takes time. And we're seeing it with Ethereum now. And then there's like this awkward phase where there's like not, there's like some stuff going on in like the L2, but like not enough. So it's just like, it takes time is my point. And so I think like, it's like something that, you know, really needs to get like to people, like again, like should like really needs to get worked on like yesterday. Because it's going to take a lot of time to implement and to get people onto that subnet.
Yeah. And to close out with that too, like just like what they're doing with the DAO, the Stacker DAOs, like wherever there's someone, like there's headache in trying to do that thing. Like most people aren't going to do that because they just don't care enough. That's where the opportunity is. So like you guys doing Stacker DAOs, someone doing like you're the implementer. There's, if you can figure that out early enough, you know, you're definitely going to have a prosperous future because you're absolutely essential.
There are so many. So I think the benefit, I mean, there's like pros and cons to like being a like later blockchain or newer blockchain in development. But one of the pros, at least if you want to eventually like launch your own project, is that, you know, we know where like the ecosystem will kind of grow because you can look at more mature blockchains, right? And so if you then like look at these more mature blockchains and look at Stacks, like you can just see where like there are these massive gaps in the ecosystem, kind of like what happened with us with Stacker DAOs. And, you know, just like no one's doing, there's nothing, there's like no one that I know of that's like working on this gap. Fuck it. Like, let me just do it myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's almost like easy, you know, and it's like less competition, I think, than like building in other blockchains. Cause you could easily just come in and fulfill this like massive gap that just like doesn't exist on these other more mature blockchains because there's a way more competition. And it's like, they've already built out like a lot of these things.
100%. Man, we'll have to reconnect in like a year when you guys have been building and see where this is laying out. But yeah, I'm excited for you and excited for you getting your Stacks grant and see what you guys create in the next year. So Orlando, thank you for taking the time, man.
Thank you. And I'm excited to see kind of like how this series goes and also what else you end up like kind of like launching for podcasts and everything. By the way, I think what you're doing is great for the ecosystem. I think it's very much needed. I think you're killing it. So, you know, continue doing you.
All right, y'all. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Fantastic, fantastic what they're building. And yeah, if you could do me a favor, I've been told by the powers that be, which is some of these community members and listeners of this podcast, that I should remind you, let you know that getting the word out about this podcast helps all of us grow together. Stacks gets bigger, podcast gets bigger, flywheel effect or something. People use that word too much. But anyways, if you could do me a favor and share the podcast, subscribe, and leave me a review. Mainly on Apple Podcasts, they're the big dogs in town. Leave me a review. It really helps me in the rankings, and I would love you forever. So, yeah, that's it. I love you guys. Take care, and I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
I know that things don't always go your way, but I'll be right.